Good job. Tom cannot help me? Answer. That is correct. In fact, if you are an employee, there is very little Tom can do for you. All you need is a tax preparation service like H&R Block. Tax lessons from Tom. Great advisors have great financial education. When we get better financial education, our risk goes down as our results increase. This is true for advisors as well. When your tax advisor knows very little, your risk of an audit or of paying too much tax is very high. When your tax advisor knows a lot about the tax law, your risk of audit goes down, as do your taxes. Many people ask me if I am conservative or aggressive. I believe I am the most conservative tax advisor alive because I spend so much time every day studying the tax law. Who pays the highest taxes? Consider the cash flow quadrant. That book, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, was the second book in the Rich Dad series. E stands for employee. S stands for self-employed, small business, or specialist, such as doctor, lawyer, real estate agent, or sports superstar. B stands for a big business owner with 500 employees or more. I stands for investor, active investor, not passive investor. The quadrant also tells the story of who pays the most and least in taxes. Tax percentages paid per quadrant. S's pay 60%. E's pay 40%. B's pay 20%. And I's pay 0%. Question. So after the current Tax Payment Act of 1943, anyone who works for money pays the highest taxes? Answer. Yes. That is why Rich Dad's money rule number one is the rich don't work for money. Question. So professional investors pay the least in taxes? Answer. Yes. Question. I am an investor. I have a retirement plan. I invest through my company pension, and I have a small portfolio of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. I have tax-free returns, and I am ex-military, and I have a military pension. Am I in the I quadrant? Answer. No. You are probably a passive investor. Professional investors are different. Think of it this way. One of the great golfers in history is Tiger Woods. Even if I used Tiger Woods golf clubs and wore Tiger Woods shirt and shoes, I would still never be a professional golfer like Tiger Woods. In other words, professional investing is not about the investment. It is about the investor. And the financial education required to live life in the I quadrant is massive. Question. Do you think I can do it? Answer. That is up to you. Only you can answer that question. Tax lessons from Tom. Consumers versus producers. Think of the E, S, B, and I quadrants in terms of consuming and producing. Someone in the E quadrant produces whatever they can produce by themselves and consumes an equal amount. Someone in the S quadrant produces a little more if they have some employees and consumes a little less than they produce. Someone in the B or I quadrant, however, produces much more than they consume. In the B quadrant, they are creating hundreds or thousands of jobs, and in the I quadrant, they are producing energy, food, and housing. They still only consume the same amount as someone in the E or S quadrant. The government encourages and rewards these activities through tax breaks because the producers stimulate the economy and produce the food, fuel, and housing that the rest of the citizens need to live happy, productive lives. The B and I quadrants. There are rich people in all four quadrants. There are many rich employees and self-employed specialists, such as doctors, lawyers, sports stars, and artists. In the E and S quadrants, there are both rich and poor people. The richest people in the world live in the I quadrant. There are no poor people in the I quadrant. The amount of wealth they have may vary, but no one is poor. Question. So why do they pay the least in taxes if they are rich? Answer. Because of the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Question. So you play by the rules of the I quadrant? Answer. I do. And so can you. The rules do not discriminate. Question. And the rules for the E quadrant are different? Answer. Very different. Question. How long did it take you to get to the I quadrant? Answer. It took a while. Nothing happens overnight. In 1973, I returned from Vietnam. My poor dad suggested I go back to school and get my master's degree and live my life in the E quadrant. My rich dad suggested I take a real estate investment course so I could one day live my life in the I quadrant. Question. What did you do? Answer. I did both. I flew for the Marines during the day and started night school for my MBA. I also took a 3-day course on real estate investing. Question. What happened? Answer. I dropped out of the MBA program after 6 months. Question. Why? Answer. There were many reasons. One reason was the instructors. The instructors in the MBA program had no real-world experience. They were professional teachers teaching business courses. The real estate course instructor was a real estate investor. He inspired me to learn. The MBA instructors were boring. The real estate instructor was teaching me about the I quadrant. The MBA instructors were teaching me about the E quadrant. After 6 months, I was gone because I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to one day live my life in the I quadrant as a professional investor. The 3-day real estate course, 40-plus years ago, cost $385, which for me at the time was half my monthly income as a Marine pilot. The course did not give me answers. The course taught me what I needed to learn and what I needed to do after the class was over. Today, I am still a student and still learning. Question. What was your return on the $385? Answer. Millions. Most importantly, I learned to use debt and taxes to become rich. Question. Debt and taxes have made you rich? Answer. Yes. And it's the same debt and taxes that make most people poor. Debt and taxes make those with financial education richer. The knowledge gained from that $385 course was priceless. Question. Should I go back to school? Answer. The type of school you attend depends upon which quadrant you want to live your life in. I wanted to live my life in the I quadrant, the same quadrant where the richest people in the world live. Once I completed that 3-day real estate course, I kept on learning and continued to take classes. I love learning in the I quadrant. Question. Do you think people should enter the MBA program? Answer. Absolutely, especially today. MBA programs provide a solid foundation for all quadrants. Once you graduate, they can decide which quadrant they want to live in. Keep in mind that it's not the profession that determines the quadrant. For example, a medical doctor could be an employee in the E quadrant, a doctor in private practice in the S quadrant, build a hospital in the B quadrant, and become a professional investor in the I quadrant. The difference is the mindset, skill sets, and financial education. If you want to live your life in the B and I quadrants, you must know how to use debt and taxes to get richer. Question. So your 3-day real estate course was your entry into the I quadrant? Answer. Yes. But I can't stress this enough. That 3-day course was just the start. My instructor inspired me to learn more, and I kept on learning. I took courses on stock trading, foreign exchange trading, options trading, gold and silver investing, financial planning, debt, taxes, and how to raise capital, as well as different levels of real estate courses, from buying small homes to developing property. I love learning in the I quadrant. If you have ever seen the TV program Shark Tank, you've seen what real people in the I quadrant do. They look at investments, business or real estate, and startups, and then decide if the product and the entrepreneurs are worth funding. Question. Is that what I-quadrant people do? Answer, yes, it's a great life. It sure beats working. Question, how long did it take you to get to the I-quadrant? Answer, I was 47 and Kim was 37 when we were financially free. There were many bumps along the way. Kim and I were homeless for a short while. In the process, we achieved not only wealth and freedom, but we gained education, knowledge, wisdom, experience, and friends who think like we do. Question, how long will it take me? Answer, that depends on you. I have met a number of people who are naturals in the I quadrant. I wasn't, so it took me a while. Kim is a natural. She loves her life in the I quadrant. Taxes are incentives. The point I want to make is that people on the E and S side of the cash flow quadrant pay the highest percentages in taxes. There is little a person like Tom can do for them unless they are first willing to invest in their financial education. I have met so many successful accountants, attorneys, and doctors who will tell me and Tom, you can't do that here. No matter where we are in the world, some expert will raise his or her hand and say, you can't do that here. It's illegal. The problem is that these experts are locked into the mindset of their quadrant. It requires financial education to move from the left side, the E and S side, to the B and I side. In 1994, after Kim and I made it to the I quadrant, she and I formed the Rich Dad Company in the B quadrant. The purpose for starting the Rich Dad Company was to provide financial education for those who wanted to migrate from the E and S quadrants and become B's and I's. As you know, there are no guarantees that anyone will make it to the B and I quadrants. Our first product was the Cash Flow Game, which was released in 1996, followed by Rich Dad Poor Dad in 1997. In 2000, Rich Dad Poor Dad made the New York Times list and remained on the list for more than 6 years. A month later, Oprah called and I was her guest for her entire hour-long show. That day changed my life and the course of the Rich Dad Company. I have been called an overnight success many times. In some ways, that is true. In just 1 hour, talking to Oprah and her millions of loyal fans, telling the story of my two dads, one rich and one poor, and the importance of financial education, I went from unknown to world famous. Yet, I assure you, there was a lot of hard work and study long before Oprah called. A final word on taxes. The reason Governor Mitt Romney paid 13% in taxes and President Obama paid 30% is because Romney operates out of the B and I quadrants. Barack Obama operates out of the E and S quadrants. They see the world very differently. That is the power of real financial education. Incentives. When Tom and I teach together, on stages all over the world, he explains that taxes and tax breaks are incentives, and incentives are different for the different quadrants. For example, people in the E and S quadrants respond to the incentive of more money, more income, higher pay, and bonuses. Those in the E and S quadrants work for money. People on the B and I side work for tax incentives. They make more money indirectly via tax breaks. For example, B quadrant people receive tax breaks for hiring employees. The government does this because the government needs jobs for people. There's a steady stream of tax dollars flowing into government coffers from employee paychecks, so the government offers the incentive of lower taxes. These are entrepreneurs such as Elon Musk. He receives billions in tax breaks from different states and from the U.S. government. In the I quadrant, I receive tax breaks for investing in apartment complexes. If I did not provide housing, the government would have to, costing taxpayers a lot of money. So rather than ask taxpayers to pay higher taxes, the government offers entrepreneurs like me tax incentives. I become a partner with the government. If the government had to build those apartment buildings, that would be socialism. If I build them, it's capitalism. Personally, I prefer to be a capitalist on the B and I side of the cash flow quadrant. Tax lessons from Tom. Government incentives. Even the E and S quadrants receive tax incentives. In the United States, for example, those who purchase houses can deduct the interest expense on their tax return. Those who save for retirement can deduct their investments through IRAs, RRSPs, and superannuations. Those who give to charity can deduct their donations. These are all tax incentives from the government. The B and I quadrants simply receive many more tax incentives from the government because the activities that take place in those quadrants perform vital functions that help the government do its job of improving the economy, providing jobs, and providing food, energy, and fuel to citizens and businesses. Now you may understand why Tom Wheelwright is my tax advisor and my adjuvant in this book. He makes sure I do the right things in business and that what I write about is accurate. I have no desire to go to jail or to misinform you. The reason Tom is my personal advisor is because every investment or business is different. Most deals do not work and we turn them down. But with every business opportunity or property deal we do our due diligence on, we become smarter together. Remember this. People who say you can't do that here probably live their lives in the E or S quadrants. So it is true, most of them cannot do it there. But you can, if you invest in your financial education for the B and I quadrants. Tax lessons from Tom. You can't do that here. When I hear this, I am hearing that the person speaking is saying that you can't do this in their situation. They are correct. In order to do what Robert and I do, you have to change your situation. For example, someone who rents their house cannot deduct their house payments, rent, whereas someone who owns their house can, interest. So in order to deduct a house payment, a person has to change their situation from a renter to a homeowner. The same is true with other deductions, credits, and tax benefits. A person must place themselves in the right situation in order to obtain the tax benefit. If they do, it doesn't matter if they are wealthy or not. They will get the tax benefit. The wealthy simply have learned to place themselves in the right situation more often than the poor and middle class. Later in this book, Tom and I will guide you through real deals that Kim and I have done. Deals that E's and S's cannot do. Chapter 4. Why Mistakes Make the Rich Richer. Poor Dad. Mistakes make you stupid. Rich Dad. Mistakes make you smarter. Have you ever watched a baby learning to walk? The baby stands, wobbles, then takes a step. Oftentimes the baby falls and cries. We all know the next steps. Soon the baby is at it again, getting up from the floor, standing, wobbling, falling again, and quite likely, crying again too. The baby repeats the process until one day he or she walks, then runs, rides a bicycle, drives a car, and leaves home. This is the way God designed us to learn. Humans learn by making mistakes. If the baby were punished each time he or she fell, the baby would crawl for the rest of its life. The baby would never leave home. In school, students learn by lecture, reading, and studying, and then take a test. Let's say there are 10 questions on a test, and the student makes 3 mistakes. The teacher awards a grade of 70%, and the class moves on to the next lesson. The school system discards the most important part of the test, the mistakes. Rather than learn from their mistakes, students are punished for making them. Many students leave school feeling stupid, certainly not smart, and fearful of mistakes, less confident about their ability to learn. Mistakes tell the teacher what a student does not know and, in many cases, what the teacher failed to teach. Mistakes are opportunities for both student and teacher to get smarter. A year after graduation, most students have forgotten 75% of the right answers. What they never forget are the negative messages. Don't make mistakes. People who make mistakes are stupid. Rich Dad had a tremendous respect for mistakes. He often said, mistakes are God's way of talking to you. Mistakes are saying, wake up, pay attention. There is something you need to know. After school, Rich Dad's son and I worked in his business 2 days a week. After work, he would sit down with us to debrief and discuss the day. He wanted to know what we learned, what we did not understand, and what mistakes we made. If we did make mistakes, he wanted us to tell the truth. He did not want us to learn to lie about them, and he believed mistakes are only sins when not admitted. Tax lessons from Tom. Specialists hate making mistakes. Accountants, attorneys, doctors, internet gurus, and other professionals usually stay in the E or S quadrants. They work so hard to be right, it's very difficult for them to be wrong and admit their mistakes. This is why so few of them make it to the B or the I quadrants. They just don't understand the benefits of making mistakes and allowing others to make mistakes. This is what holds them back. The best teachers in the world. Rich Dad's homework assignments were reading books about entrepreneurs. After finishing a book, we would get together for a book study and discuss what we learned. We read some great books about great entrepreneurs. Rich Dad often said, "The best teachers in the world are in books." One of my favorite books of those we studied was about the life of Thomas Edison. Edison, who lived from 1847 to 1931, was an inventor and founder of corporate giant General Electric. In school, Edison's teachers said he was too stupid to learn and that he was addled. He left school and was educated by his mom at home, where he had the time to study what he wanted to study. One of his creations was the prototype for today's modern laboratory. In his laboratory, people could experiment as a team, and he and his team had the freedom to fail together until they succeeded. Some of the inventions to come out of his laboratory were the telegraph, phonograph, electric light bulb, alkaline storage battery, and a camera for motion pictures. Inventions that changed the world. Not bad for a student who was too stupid to learn. My favorite Edison quote is, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work." And to people who quit, he said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." Many of you have heard these two quotes by Edison before, yet I ask you, how much of your life is limited by your fear of making mistakes, your fear of failing? What about fear of being fired, fear of not having a job, and fear of looking stupid? The millionaire next door. Between 1971 and 2000, people did not need to change. They were protected by a rising global economy. In 1996, The Millionaire Next Door was published. It was a runaway bestseller, a reflection of the euphoria the world was experiencing. The middle class loved this book. It defined the millionaire as a middle-class college graduate with a good job and a house in the suburbs. These millionaires drove modest cars like Volvos and Toyotas and followed the financial planner's formula that prescribed save money, get out of debt, and invest for the long term in a well-diversified portfolio of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The millionaire next door became a millionaire by being in the right place, doing the right things, at the right time in history. The problem is that these millionaires next door did not need financial education to become a millionaire. Then the world changed. If we consider the 120-year history of the Dow, we can see the bottom fell out soon after The Millionaire Next Door was published in 1996. By 2008, many of the millionaires next door were the foreclosures next door. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was published in 1997 with the opposite message. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was about what the rich knew that the millionaire next door did not. In 2008, the world nearly collapsed and the governments of the world began printing trillions of dollars to keep the economy afloat. Many millionaires next door were spared from financial ruin. They were millionaires on paper, net worth millionaires. They were home equity millionaires and retirement account millionaires. The problem was, most had little to no financial education. In many ways, the same is still true today. Today, rather than looking ahead and planning for retirement, many of these millionaires next door are worried about losing everything. They know something is very wrong in the economy. Many worry about living longer and running out of money in retirement. What if I fail? This chapter is about mistakes. What most people learn in school is the fear of making mistakes. Their fear becomes a mental wall, a divider between what they know and what they need to learn. At the beginning of this book, I wrote about people asking me, "What should I do with my money?" Many people who asked that question are in trouble today. Question: why are they in trouble? Answer: because they are people who saved money, bought a house, got out of debt, and invested for the long term in the stock market. Question: those are the people who may be wiped out? Answer: yes. Question: what can they do? Answer: they do have options, but when I suggest they get a real financial education, rather than turning their money over to experts, most say, "But what if I fail? What if I make a mistake? What if I lose money? Isn't that risky? Won't that be a lot of work? I don't have to worry. I have Social Security." Question: so you cannot teach them anything if they are afraid of failing, or they don't want to learn? Answer: that's correct. The days of the millionaire next door are over. Gone are the days when you could turn your money over to an expert and wake up a millionaire. Another of Lord Rothschild's statements comes across as a dire warning. The 6 months under review have seen central bankers continuing what is surely the greatest experiment in monetary policy in the history of the world. We are therefore in uncharted waters, and it is impossible to predict the unintended consequences of very low interest rates, with some 30% of the global government debt at negative yields, combined with quantitative easing on a massive scale. Question: what does that mean? Answer: it means the world is in serious trouble. Between 1971 and 2000, people who had good jobs, saved money, and were passive investors in the stock market were the big winners. Just before retiring, the millionaires next door shifted to bonds for steady income during retirement. Between 1971 and 2000, bonds were bulletproof, virtually guaranteed, safe, and secure. Today's savers are losers. The stock market is in the biggest bubble in world history, and bonds, once safe and secure, are time bombs. If interest rates start going back up, the bond market may blow up. Weapons of mass destruction. Earlier in this book, I stated that one reason for the growing gap between the rich and everyone else is financialization, the production of toxic money and synthetic assets, sometimes called derivatives, or as Warren Buffett calls them, financial weapons of mass destruction. And Buffett should know. His company, Moody's, blessed these weapons of mass destruction, MBS, mortgage-backed securities. A MBS is made up of subprime mortgages from poor people. Then financial engineers take over and, like magic, turn subprime into prime. After Moody's blessed these weapons of mass destruction as safe and sound, they were sold into the world economy. The explosion that followed rocked the financial world. Question: derivatives could not have been sold without Moody's blessing? Answer: correct. Buffett and friends made billions while millions of people's lives were destroyed in the blast. Then friends in government bailed out Buffett and friends with trillions in taxpayer money. This is kleptocracy in its finest hour. Question: so it was financially engineered derivatives, synthetic assets, that caused the real estate market to crash in 2007 and the banking crash of 2008? Answer: yes. The real estate market did not crash. Derivatives began exploding and the world nearly came crashing down. If you want to learn more about derivatives and their destructive power, the movie The Big Short does a great job keeping you entertained while educating you about financial weapons of mass destruction. But wait, it gets worse. In 2007, before the crash, there were $700 trillion in derivatives about to explode. Today, there are $1.2 quadrillion. Question. What if they go off again? Answer. This time, the millionaire next door may be wiped out. Question. Are they safe today? Answer. No. On September 1st, 2016, the Wall Street Journal wrote about the troubles of the mighty Deutsche Bank, once the most powerful bank in the world, founded in 1870 and staffed by over 100,000 employees worldwide. The banking giant is selling parts of its business to raise money. Negative interest rates are like a cancer on a bank's business model. The Wall Street Journal also noted that the bank's derivative portfolio is starting to overheat, approaching meltdown like the Fukushima nuclear reactors did in Japan in 2011. Question. Is there an easier way to understand derivatives? Answer. Think of an orange. Orange juice is a derivative of the orange. Orange juice concentrate is a derivative of orange juice. A mortgage loan is a financial derivative of a house. What the financial engineers did was take millions of mortgages and turn them into mortgage concentrate and sell this toxic concentrate to the world. As long as subprime borrowers, in some cases people without jobs, could make their monthly mortgage payments, the world was safe and secure. Atomic war. An atomic bomb is a derivative of the chemical element uranium, symbol U. Atomic number 92. As a kid in school during the 1960s, everyone lived in fear of atomic war. We were told Russia and China were our enemies and that they were going to attack us. In response to this atomic threat, we had ridiculous atomic bomb drills in school. On our teacher's command, little kids crawled under their desks and covered their heads. Today, foreign powers continue their saber rattling. Atomic bombs and other weapons of mass destruction are real threats. Decimating ISIS and global terrorism threats are imperatives. Kleptocracy runs rampant in the world's governments, global corporations, central banks, and the financial services industry. And today, there is still little, if any, financial education in our schools. Prisoners of the E Quadrant. In many cases, school sets us up for life. It's both a foundation and a mindset that without new ideas that rock people's boats, the die is cast. When a parent says to a child, go to school and get a job, the child is being programmed for life in the E quadrant. The problem is that for most people, the E quadrant is the only quadrant they ever think about. Most people have no idea there is a bigger world outside the E quadrant. We are all humans, but very different beings. The beings in the E quadrant all say the same words in different languages all over the world. They all say, I want a safe, secure job, a steady paycheck, good benefits, and time off. It does not matter if the being speaks English, Spanish, Japanese, German, or Swahili. The words are the same. A being, being human. A human being is made up of four basic components. They are 1. Mind. 2. Body. 3. Emotions. 4. Spirit. Our current educational system is designed to program a student's mind, body, emotions, and spirit into a being who is an employee. Question. Is that why it's so hard for employees to give up job security and a steady paycheck? Without real financial education, the emotion of fear runs them. Answer. Absolutely. Without financial education, a being can only be human. Question. Is that why there is no financial education in our schools? Answer. That's my opinion, based upon what my research tells me. The Western system of education is based on the Prussian system, an educational system designed to produce workers and soldiers, people trained to follow orders and do what they are told to do. I am not saying it's bad to follow orders. I follow orders. I obey the law. A person must be a good follower before he or she can become a good leader. When people stop obeying rules and laws, we have chaos. My concern is that our educational system uses fear to teach. That is why people cannot think. They worry more about making mistakes, failing, and looking foolish. Without high EQ, emotional intelligence, and financial education, most people leave school and become prisoners in the E quadrant. They cannot escape. The torture chamber. After graduating from college, many A students go on to graduate and professional schools, becoming specialists in the S quadrant. They become doctors, accountants, and lawyers. Many others become self-employed professionals in the S quadrant. They become real estate salespeople, massage therapists, computer programmers, web designers, actors, artists, and musicians. Some do exceptionally well financially, but most do not. Others become small business owners in the S quadrant. They may start a restaurant, open a boutique, or a fitness studio. Question. Why do you call the S quadrant the torture chamber? Answer. Because it is the worst quadrant. The first thing that happens to a person who leaves the E quadrant is that expenses go up and income goes down. Then government rules and regulations are piled on you. You have no benefits, no medical and dental insurance, retirement plans, or paid vacations. Your income goes down because you are no longer doing your job, which is to take care of your customers. Your new job is running and building a business and dealing with people who take your time and your money. Question. Is that why 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 5 years? Answer. Yes. Question. Does it get better after the business is built? Answer. A little, but the torture never ends for the S quadrant entrepreneur. For example, those in the S quadrant will always pay the highest taxes, 60% or higher in some cases. In many cases, that is why most stay small. The extra income is not worth the hassle of making more money. Question. What is the good news? Answer. The good news is there are many more programs teaching people to be entrepreneurs. Today, many schools are offering entrepreneur programs, ways to make the transition from E to S less risky. And the bad news is, most programs are designed to teach people to be S quadrant entrepreneurs. Question. What are the benefits of being successful in the S quadrant? Answer. The S quadrant is the most important quadrant. Question. Why? Answer. If you succeed, you become a real entrepreneur, and you'll never go back to the E quadrant. The best news. If you become rich and successful in the S quadrant, you are qualified to move on to the B and I quadrants. That is what Ray Kroc did when he bought McDonald's from the McDonald brothers. He took the brothers' business from the S quadrant to the B and I quadrants and made billions. Question. Have you done the same thing? Answer. Yes. Not on the same scale of McDonald's, but the path I followed is similar. I am not yet a billionaire. Question. Was the process of going from being an employee in the E quadrant, then to the S quadrant, then to the B and I quadrants difficult? Answer. For me, the journey between quadrants was extremely difficult. Question. Why? Answer. Because the education for each being in each quadrant is different. The lessons are different, and so are the personal challenges. When I transitioned from E to S, my being had to change. I had to scramble and learn what I did not know. I had no steady paycheck, but I had employees who needed paychecks and benefits. I had to buy desks and office equipment. I had to raise money from investors to buy inventory for my nylon and Velcro wallet business. Every mistake I made or mistakes my employees made cost me money. Just as a baby falls before it walks, I fell every day and had to pick myself up. If not for my rich dad teaching me to respect the lesson in every mistake, I would have quit. I would have become what Edison called a failure. Repeating his quote, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." I had to go beyond failure before I succeeded. That is how our being transforms and changes quadrants. Once I succeeded in the S quadrant, I was ready to take on the B and I quadrants. Every successful entrepreneur I know has gone through the same process. Question: when will I learn about the B and I quadrants? Answer: that is what the rest of this book is about. For now, I want you to begin to understand the difference between human failures and rich beings. What it takes. Changing quadrants requires four things. 1. Spiritual intelligence. Your quiet intelligence knows there is a greater person in you, a person who can achieve their dreams. 2. Mental intelligence. The knowledge that you can learn anything you want to learn. 3. Emotional intelligence. Your ability to learn from your mistakes. In certain situations, emotional intelligence is at least 3 times more powerful than mental intelligence, especially when you are angry. Resist blaming others, even if it was their fault. Blame is a sign of low emotional intelligence. Blame stands for be lame, a lame being. Remember, all coins have 3 sides, heads, tails, and the edge. Emotional intelligence is the ability to stand on the edge of the coin and learn from the 2 sides. 4. Physical intelligence. Your ability to take what you learn, turn your ideas into action, and stand back up when you fall. If you can engage all 4 of your intelligences, you will win, no matter what happens in the economy. If you can do it every day, no matter what happens, you will become a strong and great person, greater than you are today. Chapter 5. Why crashes make the rich richer. Poor Dad. I hope the market does not crash. Rich Dad. I do not care if the market crashes. If Walmart was having a 50% off sale, you could not get into the store. If Wall Street has a 50% off sale, the millionaire next door runs and hides. The planet's friendly genius. In 1983, I read the book Grunch of Giants, written by Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller. After reading that book, I could see the coming of the financial crisis we are in today. Dr. Fuller is often called the planet's friendly genius. He is best known for designing the geodesic dome. In 1967, I hitchhiked from my school at Kings Point in New York to Montreal, Canada, to Expo 67, the World's Fair themed Man and His World. I especially wanted to see Dr. Fuller's massive geodesic dome, the U.S. Pavilion at the Expo. The dome was unbelievable. In 1981, I had the opportunity to study with Bucky Fuller for a week at a ski resort in Kirkwood, California. That week changed the direction of my life. I studied with him again in 1982 and 1983. He was teaching our class how we could predict the future. Dr. Fuller passed away a few weeks after that last event. Fuller was known for many things. He was a scientist, an architect, a mathematician, and a futurist. Many of his predictions have come true with uncanny accuracy. For example, he predicted a new technology would come into this world before or around 1990. On schedule, the Internet arrived in 1989 as the ARPANET, 6 years after Fuller's passing. His book, Grunch of Giants, was released in 1983. Grunch is an acronym standing for Gross Universal Cash Heist. In that book, he explained how the ultra-rich are ripping off the world and what the future holds for all of us. Bucky was saying the same things my rich dad had been telling me for years. Who is Grunch? Fuller writes in Grunch, "Who runs Grunch? Nobody knows. It controls all the world's banks, even the muted Swiss banks. It does what its lawyers tell it to do. It maintains technical legality and is prepared to prove it. Its law firm is named Machiavelli. Machiavelli, Adams, and Oil. Some think the second Mach is a cover for mafia." The most important point I want to make is that we should all be aware of the fact that this game of money is rigged. It is not fair. The game of money that Grunch plays is to steal our wealth via our money, our monetary system. The world is waking up. Quoting The Economist from March 26, 2016, "America used to be the land of opportunity and optimism. Now opportunity is seen as the preserve of the elite. Two-thirds of Americans believed the economy is rigged in favor of vested interests, and optimism has turned to anger. America is meant to be a temple of free enterprise. It isn't. The game may indeed be rigged." Question: can we stop Grunch? Answer: you could try. But rather than take on Grunch, I decided to learn and understand the game Grunch plays. I decided I wouldn't be a victim. That is why in 1963 I began to look into the future and chose not to play the game Grunch wants us to play. Question: what game is that? Answer: the game that begins with the instructions, go to school, work hard, pay taxes, get out of debt, and save money. To beat Grunch, I knew I had to learn to see the future and prepare for the future. How to see the future? The way to see the future is to study the past. Fuller called it prognostication. Let me teach you how Dr. Fuller taught me to see the future. Let's use the same 120-year history of the Dow that we've already studied. You will now learn how to see the future by simply considering, again, the past 20 years of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 1913. Federal Reserve Bank is created. In that same year, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was passed, authorizing the government to tax income. Question: the Fed was created the same year income tax was created? Answer: yes. The Fed needs tax dollars to create dollars. Question: why is this date so important? Answer: because it was in 1913 that today's global crisis began. Today's financial crisis would not have happened without the creation of the Federal Reserve System and the IRS, the tax system. Tax lessons from Tom. Tax dollars create new dollars. The Fed can only create dollars because these dollars were backed by the U.S. taxpayer. Without the tax system, the Fed would have no backing and could not create dollars. Many experts agree that without the Fed, there would not have been multi-trillions in quantitative easing, the printing of money. Without the Fed, there would not have been the 2007 real estate market crash. Without the Fed, the giant banks would not have crashed in 2008, and without the Fed, the giant banks could not have been bailed out with taxpayer money. This is why 1913 is an important date in understanding the history behind today's crisis. 1929. The giant stock market crash. This crash led to the Great Depression. The Depression terrified the American people. Their financial insecurity led to the Great Society, the genesis of many of the social programs we have today, including the unfunded liabilities of entitlement programs that are bankrupting America today. The national debt of the United States in 2017 is estimated to be over $220 trillion when off-balance sheet liabilities, the insolvent programs like Social Security and Medicare, are included. 1935. Social Security is enacted by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Today, millions are counting on the government to take care of them when they retire. 1943, Current Tax Payment Act is passed, whereby Congress authorized taxes to be taken from employees' paychecks before the employee in the E quadrant is paid. 1944. The Bretton Woods Agreement puts the world on the dollar standard. The United States agrees to back its dollar with gold. The world is required to trade internationally in U.S. dollars. Instead of saving gold, the central banks of the world were required to save U.S. dollars. The dollar was now as good as gold and became the reserve currency of the world. This gave the United States an unprecedented advantage in the world economy, and America and many Americans became extremely rich. 1971. President Richard Nixon violates the Bretton Woods Agreement. The printing of money begins. Today's crisis could not have happened if Nixon had not violated the Bretton Woods Agreement. 1972. President Nixon opens the doors to China. Job security is lost to lower-wage countries. In three decades, China went from a dirt-poor country to a world power. 1974. President Nixon signs petrodollar agreement with Saudi Arabia. The U.S. dollar is now backed by oil. All countries must now buy oil in U.S. dollars, which makes the U.S. dollar the most powerful currency in history. Petrodollars allowed the Fed to print money like madmen. The good news is that the U.S. economy boomed. The bad news is that terrorism is increasing. Thousands of people are dying at the hands of terrorists, and millions more are fleeing their homelands, displaced by war. War caused in large part by the petrodollar. The U.S. government's position, oftentimes, is that it is the world's policeman. That is not really true. America fights wars to protect the hegemony of the U.S. dollar. Question. What does hegemony mean? Answer. Hegemony is the authority of one nation over others. The agreement with Saudi Arabia and other oil producers gave Americans a stronger economy, an incredible lifestyle, a higher standard of living, and an unfair advantage over other people of the world. Question. What happens if the petrodollar as currency comes to an end? Answer. Good question. No one really knows. Trillions of petrodollars will probably come home as central banks dump their dollar reserves, which may cause massive hyperinflation in America. America's hegemony will come to an end, and the gap between rich and poor will grow wider. Question. So the crisis in the Middle East started in 1973 when the dollar became a petrodollar? You mean millions of people are migrating to Europe because of the petrodollar? Answer. A thoughtful question. You are now learning how to see the future by studying the past. 1978. The 401k is created. Today, 80% of all baby boomers feel they will become poorer in retirement. The 401k was not designed to make the baby boomers financially secure. The 401k was designed to make Wall Street richer. 1983. Bucky Fuller's Grunch of Giants is published. 1987. The stock market crashes. Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan, 1987 to 2006, enacts the Greenspan Putt. Its official name is President's Working Group on Financial Markets. Insiders call it the Plunge Protection Team. Question. What does the Plunge Protection Team do? Answer. Every time markets crash, money from mysterious sources that many suspect are funded by the Fed, rushes in to prop up the market. Once Greenspan and the Fed prevented the 1987 crash, the rich knew the Fed was standing behind them. The rich could not lose. Consider 1987. And you will see that the markets took off after Greenspan signaled he would be their banker. The Fed issued a money-back guarantee to the rich, a safety net of sorts, if the markets crashed. The rich could not lose. 1987 to 2000. The Dow goes parabolic, and the millionaire next door gets rich. Millions of middle-class passive investors become millionaires via inflation in the value of their homes, their 401ks and IRAs, as well as company and government pension plans. It was very easy for Americans to get rich between 1970 and 2000. 1996. The book The Millionaire Next Door is published. Author Thomas Stanley praises the average person who becomes a millionaire by buying a house, living frugally, and investing for the long term in the stock market. Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warns of irrational exuberance. His words were a signal that the party was coming to an end. You should know, he and the Fed financed the party. Irrational exuberance was his way of saying, "Boys, you're drunk. I'm going to take the punch bowl away." 1997. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is published, warning that the rich didn't work for money, savers are losers, and your house is not an asset. Question. Did you write Rich Dad, Poor Dad as a warning? Answer. Yes. I was warning that the sleigh ride was over. The boom was about to bust, and the cash heist was about to begin. Question. Are you saying the baby boom generation may become the baby bust generation? Answer. Yes. Today, as I write in 2017, the middle class is shrinking and poverty is increasing. Consider the history and the solvency status of Social Security in the United States. There were surpluses from 1982 to 2007. Since 2008, there have been nothing but deficits. What do you see in the future for baby boomers, their children, and their grandchildren? You are now a prognosticator. What do you see as you look into the future? 1999. The European Union creates the euro. 2000. Saddam Hussein announces his intention to sell Iraqi oil in euros. 2001. The World Trade Center is attacked. 14 of the 19 hijackers are from Saudi Arabia. None were from Iraq. Flashback to June 28, 1914. Archduke Franz Ferdinand is assassinated in Sarajevo and World War I begins. On that same day, England signed an agreement for the oil rights in Mesopotamia, known today as Iraq. Mosul was an important city in 1914, and it is an important city today. Today, as I write this book, Iraqi troops fight to reclaim the city of Mosul from ISIS control. Oil has long played a role in history and in the world economy. In 1941, Pearl Harbor was attacked after the United States cut off oil to Japan. The Vietnam War was about oil, not communism. The United States did not want China to have access to Vietnam's oil. In my opinion, the petrodollar must be defended. If oil is not traded in U.S. dollars, the U.S. economy collapses. Three giant crashes. There have been three major crashes in the first 10 years of this century, between 2000 and 2010. 2000, the dot-com crash. 2007, the subprime crash. 2008, the big bank crash. Three giant crashes, thousands of times bigger than the giant crash of 1929. Many millionaires next door were wiped out between 2000 and 2010, and many more are likely to be wiped out in the coming crash. 2002. Rich Dad's Prophecy was published. In 2002, Rich Dad's Prophecy was published. I predicted the biggest stock market crash would hit in or around 2016. In that same book, I also predicted a smaller crash prior to 2016. That crash arrived in 2007 and 2008. 2008, the third crash was the banking crash. Approximately 6 months later, on September 15th, 2008, Lehman Brothers, a 150-year-old bank and one of the oldest banks in America, filed for bankruptcy and was closed. On October 3, 2008, Ben Bernanke and Secretary of the Treasury Hank Paulson, a former Goldman Sachs CEO, created TARP, the Troubled Assets Relief Program. The program bailed out the biggest banks, including Goldman Sachs, Paulson's former employer. Taxpayers will be paying for this bailout for generations. 2009, Muammar Gaddafi proposes selling Libyan oil in gold-backed dinars. 2011, Gaddafi is killed. 2015, Benjamin Netanyahu